Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Moe's Sports Talk. I'm your host, Maurice Trice, and I'm ready to talk sports with you on this pretty nice Monday in Oklahoma. This is a special Monday because it's Martin Luther King Day, definitely remembering one of the great civil rights leaders of all times, Martin Luther King, so definitely remember him today. So a special Monday, but we have a big show planned for you today. As always, there's three ways to contact the show. You can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Again, the number to call into the show, 1-646-929-0429. You can also email me, mauricetrice@hotmail.com. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E-T-R-I-C-E at hotmail.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, @TheDukeBoy100, @TheDukeBoy100. And also, don't forget, you can also listen to the show on TuneIn.com and Stitcher.com, and I believe this show is also available on iTunes as well. But we were blessed here in Oklahoma. The ice wasn't as bad as we thought it was. Well, at least not in central Oklahoma. It was bad out in western Oklahoma, so, and I'm sure it was worse than some other, you know, spots like Kansas and Missouri, but we definitely were blessed here in central Oklahoma. But like I said earlier, we do have a big show planned for you today. We're going to talk NFL playoffs, we'll talk NBA, and we'll also talk some college basketball as well. Talking NFL, I went 3-1 in my picks, so not bad. 3-1 for this weekend. I went 4-0 the first weekend, but I have to give it up to Greg from our favorite segment. We chatting with Greg. He went 4-0. Yeah, he did pick Green Bay to beat Dallas. I thought Dallas was going to find a way to win. We'll talk about that game in a couple of minutes, but definitely want to give him some props on that. Let's see. Krista, she went 3-1 in her picks as well, so I'll give her a shout-out as well because she tied with me. So there you go on that. I do want to give a shout-out to @DKSportsCapper. Want to give him a shout-out. Follow him for sports betting tips. So there you go on that. But let's turn our attention to the NFL, and let's talk some NFL playoffs from this weekend. On Saturday, Atlanta, I told you Atlanta would beat Seattle at home. A lot of people were picking Seattle. I said that was not going to happen, and Atlanta gets the job done. Matt Ryan was, he was really good. He was 26 of 37 passing, threw for 338 yards and 3 touchdowns. I love how he spread the wealth. He got multiple receivers involved, the running backs out of the backfield. I just definitely enjoyed Atlanta's offense. You know, Kyle Shanahan, by the way, their offensive coordinator, looks to be the leading candidate to take over for my San Francisco 49ers. I was really impressed with his offense. Now, 49ers don't have the weapons that Atlanta does, obviously, but I was definitely impressed with how he runs his offense. Devontae Freeman, he had 125 total yards and a touchdown. Julio Jones has 67 yards receiving and a touchdown. I was also impressed with the Atlanta defense. You know, they have definitely improved throughout the season. They did a great job of getting pressure on Russell Wilson, containing him in the pocket and getting pressure on him. For Seattle, Russell Wilson was only 17 of 30 passing, threw for 225 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Again, Atlanta's defense did a great job of getting consistent pressure on him. They didn't have, you know, they had 2 or 3 sacks, but they did a great job of hurrying him and getting hits on Russell Wilson. Doug Baldwin had 80 yards and a touchdown, but as a team, Seattle rushed for only 101 yards. Thomas Rawls only had 34 yards, so Atlanta did a great job of stopping the run. That was key in their victory. And also, Atlanta was plus 7 minutes in time of possession, so they did a great job there. So a nice win for Atlanta, and again, the offense, they did a great job of spreading the wealth, making that Seattle defense really putting them on their heels, I should say. They did a great job of that, getting running backs lined up against linebackers, finding those mismatches. They did a great job of spreading the wealth, so a nice win there for Atlanta. And again, the defense was really has really improved, so Atlanta moves on to the NFC title game. The Patriots, they got a win Saturday night. They beat Houston 34-16. Tom Brady was only 18 of 38 passing, threw for 287 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Not a Brady-like performance by him. Give credit to the Houston defense, which was number one in the NFL for a reason, but still not a Brady-like performance. Now, Deion Lewis, he was special, even though he had 2 fumbles. One was recovered by Houston to set up a touchdown. touchdown for him. But he did rush for a touchdown. He caught a touchdown. He also had a 98-yard kickoff return touchdown. So he did a little bit of everything. Deion Lewis is a really good player. He's definitely an X factor for the Patriots offense. And Julian Edelman had 137-yard receiving. The Patriots defense, they forced three turnovers. But the Patriots have to be better on Sunday in the AFC title game. They had too many turnovers and they had too many penalties. They just weren't sharp. And if they're going to beat Pittsburgh, and we'll talk about Pittsburgh, Kansas City in a minute, they're going to have to be better offensively. They're going to have to be a lot better offensively. I would expect Tom Brady and that offense to be a lot better. For Houston, Brock Osweiler was only 23 of 40. He threw for 198 yards, a touchdown, but three interceptions. Turned the ball over way too much, putting his team in a bad position. Now, not all the turnovers were Harris' fault, but still. Lamar Miller has 73 yards on the ground, but DeAndre Hopkins, I thought he had to have a big game. He only had 65 yards receiving. Again, give credit to that Patriots defense. The Houston defense kept them in the game. Again, they forced turnovers. They kept them in the game, but Houston's offense, only 265 total yards of offense, and they settled for field goals in the red zone. You cannot do that in New England. You do that in New England, you lose. So the Patriots advanced to their sixth straight AFC title. That game, that is very, very impressive. Wow, six straight AFC championship games for the New England Patriots. Wow. So they advanced there. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything World of Sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. Let's turn our attention back to the NFL, and let's talk about the games that took place on Sunday. We had two classic games on Sunday, much better than the games on Saturday. Green Bay, they held on to beat Dallas 34-31. Aaron Rodgers, I told you he was a bad man. A lot of people were telling me, including my really good friend Paul from North Carolina, he was telling me that Aaron Rodgers is not that good. Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. A lot of people were saying, we're not worried about Green Bay. A lot of Dallas fans were telling me, we're not worried about Green Bay. You need to be worried about Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is especially. He threw for 356 yards, two touchdowns, did have interception. The 35-yard completion to Jared Cook set up the game-winning field goal for Green Bay. After Dallas hit a clutch free throw, field goal to tie it up, Aaron Rodgers leads Green Bay to kicking the game-winning field goal. Jared Cook, he had 104 yards receiving in a touchdown. He was definitely a big difference maker for Green Bay, including setting up the game-winning field goal, that completion. That was a big-time throw by Aaron Rodgers. Look, was that his best throw ever? No, I wouldn't say that, but that was a big-time throw. There's no doubt about that. Ty Montgomery also had two touchdown runs. Green Bay was really great in the first half on third downs. I thought the Dallas defense, they did a poor job of getting after Aaron Rodgers in that first half. They tried to, put eight men in coverage and not – they didn't attack enough. They weren't in attack mode. They were trying to sit back in coverage, and Aaron Rodgers picked them apart in that first half. They did a much better job in the second half of being in attack mode and trying to get pressure on Aaron Rodgers. For Dallas, offensively, Dak Prescott, he threw for 302 yards, three touchdowns, did have that interception in the red zone, which was a critical mistake. But overall, he played great. He played really well. He's not the reason why Dallas lost. Dez Bryant had 132 yards receiving and two touchdowns. Ezekiel Elliott had 125 yards on the ground on 22 carries. Dallas needs to run the ball more. They need to give Ezekiel Elliott about 8 or 10 more handoffs, give him 8 or 10 more carries. That would have been big. And the Dallas penalties, they had some costly penalties that were just really costly that you just cannot have if you want to advance to the NFC Championship game. And also the defense, they could not get off the field on third downs in that first half like we talked about. They made mistakes there, and also they needed to run the ball more. Poor clock management on that last drive, the drive that they tied it up at 31. Why in the world are you spiking the ball with 49 seconds left on that first down? It made no sense. You want to leave Green Bay as little time as possible. They left Aaron Rodgers way too much time. You know, I picked Dallas to win, and when Dallas tied it up, I was excited. And I said, wait a minute. Green Bay still has 35 seconds left on the clock. you left that man, that Aaron Rodgers is a bad man. Make no mistake about it. You left him way too much time, and he capitalized on that and set them up for the game-winning field goal. So Green Bay advances on to take on Atlanta, 205 on CBS. And we'll talk more about the NFC title game on my next show on Friday, but, man, it's probably going to come down to who has the ball last, just like Green Bay and Dallas did. There's going to be a lot of points scored. Both defenses are suspect. They both can get pressure at the quarterback at times, but both secondaries are suspect. I expect this game to be in the high 30s. Whatever the over is, take the over. It should be exciting to watch if you like offensive football. It's going to come down to which offensive team makes the least mistakes, so I definitely going to be enjoying that. And this morning, Stephen A. Smith was just way too excited about Dallas losing with his Rodgers jersey on. I know there's a lot of Dallas haters. I don't like Dallas at all. I'm a 49er fan, but again, Dallas had a nice season. For them to win the NFC East with a backup quarterback at the time, it ended in a disappointing fashion, but they had a really nice season. It was a successful season, I would say, for Dallas. Not a great season, not a special season, but I would say it was a successful season, the fact that they won the NFC East, they got the number one seed, and they have a bright future ahead of them. So if you're a Dallas fan, don't be too sad today, because your team has a bright future. And let's talk about the last matchup that took place on Sunday. It was a Sunday night kickoff because of the ice in Kansas City, but Pittsburgh, they held on to beat Kansas City 18-16. Ben Roethlisberger threw for 224 yards, did have interception. Le'Veon Bell had 170 yards on the ground. He was dominant, especially in that first half. Antonio Brown had 108 yards receiving. They settled for 6 field goals. They settled for way too many field goals. Their field goal kicker kicked a postseason record of field goals. Obviously, against New England, you're going to have to some of those field goals are going to have to turn into touchdowns, and if you're going to beat New England. But they dominated time of possession. They were plus 9 minutes in time of possession. For Kansas City, Alex Smith threw for 172 yards, a touchdown, an interception. Travis Kelce only had a 77 yards receiving. He made some really dumb, boneheaded mistakes, drop passes, and that penalty was awful, that unsportsmanlike penalty. And also, Kansas City only rushed for 61 yards. Tyreek Hill only had 45 total yards of offense. You have to give credit to that Pittsburgh defense. They did a great job of getting pressure on Alex Smith and taking the big threats of the Kansas City offense away, which is Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. And also, the Pittsburgh defense did a great job of tackling well in space. That was a key for them to get in the victory. Kansas City only had 227 total yards of offense, and I thought that would be an issue for Kansas City was their offense. And Pittsburgh has definitely improved defensively. They're doing a good job of getting pressure on the opposing team's quarterback. So they'll take on New England, 540 on CBS. I believe I might have said 205 for the NFC title game between Green Bay and Atlanta. That'll be on Fox. The AFC title game between Pittsburgh and New England will be on CBS. And when you look at this matchup, a little brief preview, we'll talk more about it on Friday again. But to me, it's going to come down to, can Pittsburgh's defense get a lot of pressure on Tom Brady? Because I know Tom Brady is going to be better on Sunday than what he was against Houston. Those two interceptions, he's only thrown two interceptions all season long until that game. And give credit to the Houston defense, but I think that'll be a key. And also, can the Patriots defense, can they stop the run game of Le'Veon Bell? Because Le'Veon Bell is special. His patience, his vision, he's special. So can the Patriots, can they take him away from the Pittsburgh offense? That will be key. So we shall wait and see. But right now, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some music from Ariana Grande. When we come back, we'll talk NBA and college basketball. We'll do all that next on Mo's Sports Talk.
The top spot title. Spent an hour in the bathroom, walked out looking like a model. God, doing what you do, got me right there with Apollo on the moon. Mooney's genies in a bottle, girl, if they already got you.
Oh, you made me feel so lucky. Finally, the stars are aligned. Everything I wanted, I got.
Welcome back to Mo Sports Talk. Don't forget, if you want to talk anything world sports, we can talk NFL playoffs, we can talk NBA, we can talk college basketball, anything world sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. Would love to hear from you. But let's turn our attention to the weekend that was in the NBA. On Friday night, Minnesota, they upset Oklahoma City in Minnesota, 96-86. Karl Anthony Towns, big time, 29 points, 17 boards. Andrew Wiggins had 19 points and 6 rebounds. Ricky Rubio did a great job of getting to the lane. He had 14 points and 14 assists, and also they did a great job on defense, as well did Minnesota. For Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook had another triple-double, 21 points, 12 assists and 11 rebounds, but he only shot 7 of 23 from the field, and 1 of 10 from 3, and that's too many threes. Russell Westbrook, he can make threes. At times he gets hot, but he's definitely streaky with those threes. To me, I'd rather have Russell Westbrook attacking, being in attack mode instead of selling for threes. Once in a while, you know, the defense is not going to allow you to get in the lane. You have to take that three, and sometimes it's threes at the end of the shot clock. But to me, he has to cut down on his threes, be in attack mode. Ennis Kanter had 21 points. Steven Adams had just 4 points. That definitely hurt Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City shot just 39% from the field. They were 3 of 20 from threes. They had 18 turnovers, which Minnesota turned into 33 points. So way too many turnovers. And, again, horrible three-point percentage, 3 for 20. That's horrible. And Russell Westbrook was only 1 of 10 from threes. But another triple-double, very impressive. I mean, man, he's making triple-doubles look easy. But, again, got to be more efficient. Taking less threes and not turning the ball over for Oklahoma City. We'll talk more about them in a minute. Also on Friday, Memphis, they came back to beat Houston 110-105. Tony Allen, he scored 22 points. Mike Conley had 17 points and 9 assists. Memphis shot 54% from the field, and they hit 10 threes. And Memphis has definitely improved their three-point shooting. Years past, Memphis has really struggled to hit the three-point shots, and they're definitely knocking down threes at this time. They're definitely playing better at knocking down those threes. They're shooting better from the perimeter. And they always play great defense, and you know they're going to be physical. They can make threes, that takes them to another level. For Houston, James Harden, he scored 27 points. He had 9 assists, but Houston shot just 40% from the field. They were 10 of 41 from the three-point line. They love to hit, to shoot threes. They just were not going down against Memphis. Again, give credit to that Memphis perimeter defense. They're an excellent perimeter defensive team, and they made life really tough for Houston contesting threes. They did an excellent job at that. So a really tough loss for Houston and Memphis. They've been playing some really great basketball. Both teams have been playing great, but Memphis, they've been playing some really, really good basketball, definitely better than what I expected. But I thought they would be good this season, much improved from last season, especially adding Chandler Parsons. If he can stay healthy, that'll be big for Memphis. And then on Sunday night, Oklahoma City, they did get a nice road win, beating Sacramento 122-118. Russell Westbrook, another triple-double, his 20th of the season. He definitely should be an all-star starter, and that's ridiculous that he's in third place. That right now, after the all-star game was today, by the fan vote, Russell Westbrook would not be an all-star starter. That is absolutely ridiculous. The man has 20 triple-doubles. He's doing things that haven't been done since Oscar Robertson back in the 1960s, okay? This man is definitely an all-star starter. He scored about 36 points, had 11 rebounds and 10 assists last night. Ennis Kanter had a double-double, 29 points and 12 rebounds. But Steven Adams was hurt. He's going to be out for tonight's game against the Clippers with a concussion. Hopefully he'll be back Wednesday to take on Golden State. Victor Oladipo, he scored 23 points for Oklahoma City. For Sacramento, DeMarcus Cousins, he had 31 points and 17 rebounds. Rudy Gay, he had 22 points, but on 6 of 18 shooting, did have 10 rebounds. Sacramento had 22 turnovers. So get credit to Oklahoma City's defense. They did a great job of turning Sacramento over. And that's a much-needed win for Oklahoma City on the road because they have a tough, tough schedule. Look at their schedule coming up. And I got it right in front of me here. Oklahoma City, tonight they have the Clippers, then Wednesday night Golden State on the road, then Utah next Monday, then at New Orleans with Anthony Davis, then they take on Dallas, then Cleveland and San Antonio on the road, back-to-back games. So this is a real tough stretch for Oklahoma City. So they definitely need to beat Sacramento because, man, it's going to be really tough to get a victory, especially with Steven Adams out of the lineup tonight. That's going to be tough. You know what Golden State can do. We'll talk more about them in a minute. And then Utah, I mean, all these games are tough. So that was nice that Oklahoma City could get a road win over Sacramento. That was really, really good. And they had to hang on to win. They definitely didn't finish the game out like you would want them to finish it out, but they found a way. They got the job done. They did enough to get a victory in Sacramento. And this is not easy to win in Sacramento. So they got the job done, even though Sacramento is really not a good basketball team. But nice win there for Oklahoma City. And again, a monster doubleheader tonight, starting at 7 o'clock Eastern time on TNT, starting with Golden State and Cleveland. I know the game in the grand scheme of things doesn't mean much, but Golden State has lost four times in a row to Cleveland. I think for their own confidence against Cleveland, they need to win tonight in Golden State. They're at home. They need to find a way to beat Cleveland. Now, if they lose, I'm going to say, now Golden State has no chance to beat Cleveland in the potential NBA Finals. I'm not going to say that, but I will say for their confidence, for their ability to know, hey, we can beat this team. Look, they were up big in Cleveland. They were up 14 points late. So I know they can beat Cleveland, but for their own confidence, they need to find a way to win tonight. It's going to be a great game. I think Golden State gets the job done tonight at home. Cleveland's still trying to work in Kyle Korver, and I think with them adding Kyle Korver, that's going to be a big difference maker for them, especially when they get J.R. Smith back before the playoffs. But I think for the mindset for Golden State, for their confidence, for their mindset saying, hey, we can beat this team, they need to find a way to beat Cleveland tonight. So we'll see how that happens. And then the nightcap is the Clippers versus Oklahoma City. Again, no Steven Adams. That's going to be really, really tough for Oklahoma City to find a way to win. If they can get a win in L.A. tonight without Steven Adams, that'll be a big-time win. So we'll see if Russell Westbrook getting another triple-double. Victor Oladipo is going to have to be really good tonight, and they're going to have to keep DeAndre Jordan off the offensive glass, which is easier said than done. Enes Kanter, he's going to have to pick up his defensive effort. He's going to have to do a lot offensively as well. So this is going to be a big showcase game for Enes Kanter, so we'll see what happens there. But right now we're going to take another quick break. We're going to listen to some music for the Jackson 5, and then we'll come back. We'll talk college basketball. We'll do all that next on Mo's Sports Talk. Welcome back to Mo's Sports Talk. Don't forget, it's not too late. If you want to talk anything in the world of sports, you can call me up at 1-646-929-0429. I would love to hear from you. In college basketball, my favorite team, the Duke Blue Devils, took another loss on Saturday. Louisville beat Duke 78-69. Anas Muhammad, I think I pronounced the name right. But anyway, the big man from Egypt, for Louisville. He had 17 points and 10 rebounds. Quinn Snyder had 13 points and 6 assists. Louisville did a great job with their ball movement. They had 16 assists as well, and their defense was really good. For Duke, Grayson Allen, he scored 23 points and had 9 rebounds. Luke Kennard added 17, but Duke had too many turnovers, 18 turnovers, and also poor defense, especially on ball screens, and only 3 bench points. They had just 8 assists to those 18 turnovers. Duke has to do a better job of limiting turnovers and also playing some better defense, especially on those ball screens. Their ball screen defense has just been awful. They have to do a better job of communicating. A lot of defense is about communication and effort. Not so much talent, it's about communication and effort. And Duke has to have more of that defensively. Again, I know Coach K's out dealing with his back surgery. His back surgery was successful. That's good. But Duke is going to have to be better defensively. And to me, the freshmen really have to step up. The Harry Giles, I know they haven't played very long. It's going to take some time, but they have to step up. Also, Jason Tatum's been really good. But Frank Jackson, I think that's another guy who can do some more for Duke. But again, limiting turnovers and playing some better defense. Duke drops to number 18 in the polls. If you would have told me that Duke would have four losses already, now I know a lot of that has to do with injuries. Emil Jefferson's still out. Hopefully he'll be back. But if you had told me that, I would have said you're crazy. With this Duke team is loaded. They're going to have to be better defensively, and like I said, in limiting turnovers. Their next game is against Miami, so I'm glad Duke gets some rest before that Miami game, some more practice time as well. Also on Saturday, North Carolina beat Florida State 96-83. Joel Berry, he scored 26 points. Isaiah Hicks had 22 points and 7 rebounds. Justin Jackson, he scored 22 points. They were a plus 22 on the glass. This North Carolina team, like most North Carolina teams, is an excellent rebounding team. They pounded Florida State on the glass. Dwayne Bacon scored 18 points, but Florida State really killed themselves at the free throw line. They were 12 of 26 from the free throw line. Fundamentals, 14 missed free throws for Florida State. So a great win there for North Carolina. Also, Kansas, they survived Oklahoma State, beating them 87-80. Frank Mason scored 22 points on Saturday. Devontae Graham had 21. Josh Jackson scored 20 points. They had 16 offensive rebounds. For Oklahoma State, Jeffrey Carroll, he scored 23 points. Mitchell Solomon had 16 points and 4 rebounds, but they were only 11 of 14 from the free throw line, and Kansas was 30 of 45 from the free throw line. So Kansas had 45 attempts from the free throw line. Oklahoma State only had 14. So defending without fouling was a big issue for Oklahoma State. There's no moral victories, but they have to feel really good about themselves that they play Kansas really tough, but they're 0-5 in Big 12 play. I still think they have an outside chance of making it to the NCAA tournament, but they're going to have to get hot. And they have a schedule coming up that may allow them to get hot and win some Big 12 conference games. We'll see if they can get it turned around. Also, Butler on Saturday, they slipped past Xavier, beat them 83-78. Alex Travis, Cabbage, just to say, he had 16 points, but they only had 9 turnovers. They were really efficient. For Xavier, Edmund Sumner, he scored 22 points. Trayvon Blewett had 10 points on 2 of 10 shooting, but they missed 11 free throws. Also, they had 16 turnovers to Xavier, so a nice win there for Butler. And Gonzaga, they stayed undefeated. Their only undefeated team left in Division I college basketball. They beat down St. Mary's 79-56. This is a St. Mary's team that was ranked in the top 25. Nigel Williams-Goss had 19 points and 6 assists. Jordan Matthews added 16 points. They shot 65% from the field. They only had 7 turnovers. Very, very efficient. St. Mary's shot just 40% from the field. Watch out for this Gonzaga team. They're deep. They're talented. They can score. They're balanced. They have a really, really good team. This Gonzaga team is really, really good. So watch out for them. I know they're undefeated. I know some people say, well, they haven't played really anybody strong, but still, this Gonzaga team is dangerous. Watch out for them come tournament time if they can stay healthy. I'll be keeping my eye on Gonzaga. And talking about teams to keep your eye on, Creighton, they had a nice win today beating Xavier. Xavier's really struggling. That was a nice road win for Creighton without, in the second half, their starting point guard Maurice Watson was injured, and they beat Xavier, so a nice win there for Creighton. That's another team to watch out for. Now, Maurice Watson, this is a serious injury to their starting point guard. Well, never mind about Creighton. That's going to be a big, big blow for them. Maybe not so much in the short term, but definitely in the long term. But that was a nice win today. And for tonight's game, Kansas, you're on upset alert. Watch out. They're going to be playing Iowa State. I know Iowa State has not played up to their capability, but they have a really talented team. Monte Morris, Nas Long, DeAndre Burton, they have a lot of scoring options on the perimeter. Kansas better watch out tonight in Iowa State. I'm leaning towards Iowa State in that one. So anyway, that's my thoughts on college basketball. Thank you for listening to my show. Don't forget my next show, guys, will be Friday at 5:30 Central Time. We'll give you a preview of both the NFC and AFC championship games. Also, we'll talk NBA. We'll talk about the game that's going to take place tonight between Golden State and Cleveland. We'll also talk about Oklahoma City taking on Golden State, KD versus Westbrook again. We'll talk about that, which takes place on Wednesday night. We'll talk college basketball, get you ready for the weekend in college basketball. We'll do all that on Friday at 5:30 Central Time. And the rest of your Martin Luther King Monday. And don't forget to listen to my next show on Friday. God is good. Trust in Him. And we'll talk to you next time on Mo.